listen to the people who are calling us names. I can feel the sunlight shining in.
Let's go for it. Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Brian, and today is Thursday, February 2nd, 2023, and this is episode 302 of the Lots Project podcast, a daily look inside our journey to live outside the systems of control. It's another daily morning chat with Brian, and the internet is all goofy, so if I freeze up, I might go back and re-record this, but Josh says it seems clear right now. So today we are going to talk about the rain, which is causing this lovely internet with my Starlink satellite, and then we'll also talk about my stove, my wood stove, and what I found. Got the troubleshooting all figured out, and the stove seems to be working better. Sans the wet wood. The wet wood is still a pain in the ass. And then, I got a little reminder for everyone about a little bit of side hustle and something you might want to be doing right now. Right at the moment, it's time for the fourth edition of The Perfect Cup, a daily question and my thoughts. Join the discussion of The Perfect Cup in my Telegram group at t.me/lotschat, t.me/lotschat. And the Perfect Cup question of the day today is, oh man, if everyone spoke their mind, would this world be a better place? Well, I mean, my gut reaction is let her rip. I'm one of those people that kind of speaks their mind, sometimes probably when they shouldn't, sometimes probably says it a little harsher than I should or most would. But let me sit for a second here and grab a let me see. This morning I had a little bit of light Honduran left. Had a beautiful light Honduran that the whole pound was absolutely fantastic. My roaster is phenomenal. And speaking of that, he has said that I can sell up to 300 pounds on the perfectcup.shop. And I want to challenge him to that. I want to challenge him on that 300 pound limit of the month. Over the perfectcup.shop and find some coffee and order it up. Order it up for sure. But this light Honduran, the very end of that, it was about a half a French press worth. And then I topped it up with a light Ethiopian. It's good, guys. It's good. So the question, back to the question, if everyone spoke their mind, would this world be a better place? I think if everyone spoke their mind, if everyone understood that that's what was going on, and that people think differently. It's okay. People hate me. I understand that. I am fully aware that there is a large contingent of people in the world that don't care for me. They don't care for me. They don't care for the way I act. They don't care for the way I talk or my ideas or my philosophies or anything. And it's okay. It's okay. The flip side to the fact that everyone spoke their mind is no one gets when people speak their mind. Everybody's open and honest and everybody accepting of others' opinions would make it a viable system. At least we all know where we stand. I'm sure there's a place for, oh, we need to be a polite society. You gotta care for each other and all this, but I think really honestly expressing how you feel is definitely a way to make the world a better place. So I guess if everyone spoke their mind, would the world be a better place? I think it could be. I think if it was only on the side of people speaking, it would be an absolute shit show. It would devolve into utter chaos. And like Josh says in the comments, the idiots would be easier to evaluate immediately. Yes. But if with the power to be able to speak your mind and say exactly what you're thinking, came understanding that everyone has to do that. It's kind of like the kid with Asperger's. You don't smack him in the mouth when he calls you a dick. Well, I mean, most people don't. Most people don't. But I think that's kind of where we would be. And I think I fall on the side of speaking your mind, just because that's kind of who I am already. It is the way I try to live. I try to tell people what I think. And then I keep my mouth shut if it's going to keep me and get me in trouble. But if that was kind of the lay of the land and that's kind of what everybody did, I think we'd have a lot of less misunderstandings, obviously mixed signals and things like that. You can see my camera bouncing up and down. It is not an earthquake. It's a Norman. So anyway, we're going to wrap up the perfect cup here. Let me grab the comments in the comments here real quick. Clark, you missed the question. I'm going to just recap real quick. If everyone spoke their mind, would this world be a better place? If everyone spoke their mind, would this world be a better place? And I said, yeah, I think it would, but it's a double-edged sword. We have to be able to accept what people have to say. And if we could do that, it'd be great. Hit the comments up. Josh says, yeah, the idiots would expose themselves real quickly. Rachel Brown, good morning, Rachel. She said she's on her way to start up a meeting. Is that A-A-N-A-G-A? Which A are you starting up? Or what are you firing up this morning? But she also says, I'd rather you talk shit to my face than behind my back like Josh does. Yeah, and then Clark. Clark's going to have a little time to think here, and I'm going to wrap things up with the question, and we'll roll into the show. Be sure to check out theperfectcup.shop. I've been putting a lot of work into that the last few days. Go over there and check out what we have to offer as far as coffee. Coffee, like I said, my roaster says he can only do 300 pounds a month for me. I want to push him to that, and I want to make him, and I want to hold him to it, and I want to see if he can do it. So head on over there, put in an order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 6 pound orders available, and more items going up daily. So check that out at theperfectcup.shop. And now on with the show. All right. It is, Corey's getting the drying rack out. It must be still absolutely downpouring here. I thought I was going to have to delay the beginning of the show because as I signed on, Rachel says AA is for quitters. I agree. Yeah. See that? You can almost see my breath in here because we're having a tough time getting the stove started this morning with the wet wood, the wet, damp wood that I've been talking about this week. Now she's rolling. She'll come up in temp here. We're already up at a good 8 degrees this morning, but it is pouring rain out, thunderstorms. What a shit show the weather here has been the last week or so. Rain. I called off work with Josh last night because I'm not going to be able to get out of here. I talked yesterday about how I got stuck Tuesday. I got stuck going out to get propane, and the landowner was kind enough to pull me out, and I got back down in here and I got stuck on flat. And it hasn't stopped raining since, so I don't assume that I'm going to be able to get out at all. My plan right now with the truck where it is I'm not like buried. It just started to slip, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to bury this thing. I'm just going to wait for it to stop raining and dry out enough that I can just drive, and it's not like ice. Well, that's not going to be today, folks, and I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow. It might be into the weekend. We will see. We will see for sure. But rain. Thunderstorms in December, and what's the temp out? Like 35? You know, we got like a mid-30s thunderstorm, and it is downpouring. Laying in bed there this morning, Norman came up to visit me like he normally does. He rolls over on his back, and I was like, what is that noise? And Corey's like, did you hear that? And then all of a sudden, boom, thunder. I'm like, wait, it's February. Oh, I was just going to say it was December, and then I was going to say it's January, and then yeah, I realized it's February. But yeah, the Thunder Boomers in February. I guess Dallas and Fort Worth are absolutely a shit show. Snow, rain. Josh says it's February, not December. Yeah. I have a birthday coming up here soon, and I looked at Corey yesterday and went, am I going to be 45? She's like, yeah. Oh, guys, I do not feel it. I do not feel it. I know down the list, and it's, I don't know if it's tomorrow or in April. One of the questions on the my question of the day on the Perfect Cup questions, I noticed it as I was going through, and it was something like, if you didn't know what year you were born in, what would you guess your age is? And I was like, I don't know, like 30. I don't know. I'll have to think about it a little bit more between now and then, but not 45. Not 45 for sure. Especially when I look back when I was younger and I saw people that were 45, and I was like, eh, old. But yeah, so there's that coming up soon. That's great. But it sounds like the rain has possibly peeled off a little bit. No, it's just not raining as hard and not thundering, I guess. So, but yeah, it's supposed to rain all day today again, and then taper off later at some point today. And then it's supposed to stop for like 4 days. I think it's supposed to stop for 4 days. The sun's supposed to come out. Oh my God. I hope it does. I hope it dries out, because I got to get in and out of here. I got to get in and out of here. We're going to be petering down on our wood supply here today for sure. Unless it warms up, and it's not really going to warm up because the sun's not going to come out. And then I got to wait for it to dry out. So I'm guessing it's going to dry out tomorrow. I might be able to get out tomorrow afternoon or Saturday morning. So yeah, fingers crossed. At least I went out and got propane filled up. It's not like I'm going to be able to go out and find dry wood anyway, but I think the rain is supposed to taper off today, and then 4 days off, and then right back into it, right back into, yeah, right back into the rain. And Josh says up here, it's almost subtropical here. We get that rainy season and boom, I'm just glad we aren't getting the ice and snow from up north. Yeah, I was looking at that, and that just looks like a disaster. I saw somebody say Austin has a bunch of power lines and things like that down, and it's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. At least I don't have to worry about power lines and all of that stuff. I have kind of have my power. Hey, good morning, Mike, the Philippine Nomad. How you doing, sir? I have your address. I got your address, your sister's address. I appreciate that. I will get that out when I can get out of here and get to the mail. And I'm waiting for more addresses to come back for some stuff. But yeah, nobody wants to claim their prizes. No one wants to claim their prizes. So I'm figuring out what I'm going to do about that and get some redraws out. But yeah, I think about half or a little less of the prizes have been claimed. So if you were in the drawing and the 1,000 subscriber drawing and you haven't gotten an email, maybe check your spam, maybe check your promotions, things like that. I was sending emails to like GeoCities addresses, so I don't even know if people have access to those. Like, did they just put that email address in because they never thought they would win? I don't know. I don't know how that goes. Tim said he's had the same phenomenon happen with his drawings, is that people just don't respond. So yeah, we'll see. Pretty good prizes out there that the people haven't claimed. So either have to redraw or give them away some other ways. I've been thinking about some other ways. So we'll see. The redraw, I don't know. Might be live, might not. Have to figure that out. Have to figure that out as it comes. I think today I'm going to draft up a final call emails to all the people that haven't responded, and go from there. I don't know. Every time I'm in a drawing, I look very closely at the day that I'm supposed to get notified or a time period, and keep an eye out for things. And I'd hate to lose a good prize like that. But anyway, hey. they need to go. My dogs need to go on. I didn't mean to stop. They need to go. I mean, they need to go, but they need a huge exercise, like huge. We have the horse pen up here, or the horse ring, where people bring their horses and they kind of ride them around and or let them run or whatever. That's there's a barrier, and we went up and checked it out, and it looks like probably be able to get the dogs to run in there and not worry about them getting away. We came into a bad situation. I don't know about bad situation. When these guys were raised, when they were trained, when they're on the farm, they had like an acre fenced in. They were trained to that fence. They were trained to play out there. And they were very adamant about getting out of the fence sometimes if they could. Like, we left the gate open. They were really keen on chasing after chickens and birds and squirrels and things like that. So I would love to let them run. I would love to let them play fetch or something in the big old field out here. But both of us are pretty confident that they just, well, the two younger ones wouldn't come back. Walter, I have pretty much confidence in that. Even if he ran off, he would just wander his way back. Like, he wants to be here. Like, he would. He goes and stands at the door when we would be outside at home in the fence. He would go and stand at the door and look in. But the other two, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're smart enough to find their way back once they ran off. That's the bigger issue. But anyway, let the stove dive down yesterday. We were having all sorts of smoke issues. I said we had just started the kindling. We had dried out some wood. We had the propane heat ready. And I told Corey, I was like, we drafted the smoke back in. I said, okay, just shut it down. After a show, after all this, I will really clean it out. I had cleaned it out. I cleaned out the vents and things like that earlier in the week when it started, and I thought I had it. I said, okay, let it shut down. I'll go out. I will knock out the stovepipe. I will check the cap out. I will clean. I will take everything apart. I'll take the top grates out. I will take everything out, clean it all up, and we'll see if it's the wood or the draft. I was thinking, yeah, a little bit of both. A little bit of both. I was thinking I had a little bit of clog inside, and then the wet wood was not helping either. I was blowing back in when we would open the door. It wasn't right. You could tell it wasn't right. So had her shut that down. It cooled down enough. I took everything apart on the small stove. I mean, there's not a whole lot, but cleaned out all the vent holes and things like that. Then I went outside, got it to stop raining long enough to take the dogs for a walk, and then get up on the roof of the camper. And the stovepipe wasn't clogged. I shouldn't say the stovepipe was clogged. There was quite a bit of creosote buildup, but it wasn't like neck down. I mean, there's a lot of creosote can get in that pipe before it's neck down. My bigger problem was the grate, the mesh that was around the stovepipe cap had accumulated a shitload of creosote and gooey crap, probably from burning wet wood. But just general buildup too. I realized after the fact that we had been here for, I don't know, going to be like 4 months or something. So usually that is something that weekly, if we were using it at all weekly or biweekly, we would putting the rubber cap back on that. So I'd be taking that cap off and inspecting it and this and that. So I think it just was a matter of we've used the stove a bunch. We've used the stove quite a bit for like just a little bit of, hey, Diggs BTW7 over there on Twitch. How you doing? I'm doing all right. Freedom Media Corp, good morning. How you doing? And you asked if HIFCamp for people with dogs is a good niche. We're one of the rarer breeds as far as people with dogs at HIFCamps. Most people just fucking let them run, even though they say that they should be on leashes, or they sign when they book, it says that you're supposed to be on leash. It just seems like the majority of people, just if they have them off leash, they just have them off leash and they don't give a shit. But yeah, that is it's definitely an option. having a dog park near a hip camp might not be a horrible horrible thing, or in conjunction with would be not bad. Maybe some sort of partnership with a indoor facility or a dog park of some sort. But yeah, it's it is definitely something to consider if you're thinking about going on the road, is where you're going to exercise your dogs. We do bad. We do all right walking them. They do. We have plenty and plenty and plenty of walking trails here. The problem is with all the freaking rain, getting out and doing it. Like, I am not a big fan of going on a walk in the rain for 45 minutes three times, and then every private park fenced in area. That would be nice. That would be nice for sure. But you run into the interacting with dogs thing, and yeah, it's dog parks are a mess. But yeah, taking them out in the rain is tough because of how furry they are, how thick their fur is. The two of them, even if it's misting, when we get back, they are just soaking wet, just drenched. So the longer you go, the wetter they get, and they don't give a shit. They'll come back and they'll just plop on whatever bed or blanket they want, and then it's just soaked. So it's more of an us thing. And then Clyde is super not furry. And he gets a little cold, even though he wants to go and go and go and go and go and go and go. And he would go forever. Like, I take him on double the walk that I take the other two. So, Big dog raincoat. Yeah, good luck. Good luck. It'd be bigger than mine, I think. For sure. Oh, man. So, the stovepipe, I got up there, and I checked out that grate. I scraped it all out. I knocked out the stovepipe with the brush a few times, came down, I put it all back together. I cleaned everything out, and man, we lit that thing off, and it started drafting right out where it was supposed to be. So it was neck down enough on that grate that the airflow wasn't there. It just wasn't flowing enough to pull that draft consistently out, which isn't drawing enough oxygen into the stove, which isn't heating the stove up enough, which causes more creosote. It's like a never-ending circle for sure. But now that that's cleaned out, that goes on the maintenance list. the propane, sitting here for a while boondocking, basically, even though we do have water real close, basically boondocking, and we're not hooked up to anything, has for 4 months has really changed the routine schedule, I should say, the routine, that, you know, the stuff I have to check, like when we're moving every week, every other week, there's stuff has to get broken down, stuff has to be put away, stuff has to be shuffled around. And there was a mental checklist of checking everything. I had to pick up all the propane tanks and put them in the truck. I had to take the stovepipe cap off. And if I took it off and it had a little buildup on it, I would just knock it off. Now that we're sitting for 4 months, and not doing that stuff, and we're not in our driveway in Minnesota, was the only extended time we stayed more than a couple weeks. I guess we stayed in Tennessee for quite a while, but we were we didn't know when we were leaving, so we didn't like unpack things, we didn't like set up camp. But yeah, that's got to have a different list. Just experiencing the different things over time. This is a new climate we've been in, and this and that. So. Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. Robin says big dog raincoat. Yeah, I said that's going to be a huge raincoat. Clark says drum liner bags, big old garbage bags. Hey, you want to get some big garbage bags, make some dog raincoats. And then Josh says you need those giant inflatable bubbles to run in. Works great until they have to shit in their hamster ball. Oh, man. Oh, I just started picturing that. That's not a good idea. That is definitely not a good idea. But Anyway, it looks like another day today of the rain. Dealing with that with the dogs. Did you happen to notice what time it's supposed to peel off? No, she didn't. It's been changing all day. Yesterday we were looking at the forecast all day, and I was like, it's hit and miss, like when you're gonna run out to take them for a walk. And it's not like I gotta do one. Well, I do. Corey takes them all at once. Corey takes all 500 pounds of these dogs on a walk at once. I just prefer not to deal with the chaos. She can shuffle the hands back and forth. She can deal with them running around. Like I get frustrated. So I take them one at a time. So my 15, 20 minute walk turns into an hour real quick, and I get to be outside for all of it. So I'm always looking at the radar, looking at the sky, all that stuff, trying to figure out when I can take them for their walk. Cause they have a period of time that they have to go in. Otherwise they get cranky. So they go right out in the morning after they get up, and then after I do my show, I get some time to kind of get everything uploaded, and then, you know, like an hour to hour and a half after, Clyde will get up and start walking around and pacing, because not that he has to go to the bathroom, he just knows it's time for his walk. And the messed up part is he's the one who goes last. Walter is always first. Walter, as soon as I stand up to go on the walk, he jumps up and runs into the bathroom. Clyde starts pacing, even though he goes last. And then Norman usually doesn't even get up until till I get back with Walter and it's his turn. But got to be done in that certain period of time. And then there's a little window towards the end of Corey's work day where either I'll take him before, she gets done about 3:30 central. I'll take him before or when she gets done shortly after she gets done, we'll take them together. And then they go out in the evening. So four times a day, they get four outsides a day. Two of them are usually significant walks. Significant. It's not just going outside and going pee, but unfortunately that's what they get. And not any more of the free running all day every day out in the acres. So yeah, I think they got the raw end of the deal on that stick, and the fact that it's not frozen cold and snow here, and the two of them definitely love that. They definitely love that up in Minnesota, but Dad didn't, and they don't pay the bills, so not yet at least. Oh, all right. What else? So, talked about the rain. We talked about the wood stove. Got that all figured out. It's kicking away. It's good. We're up 10 degrees since we fired that up this morning. So, just a little wet, a little damp, and got to get it rolling before we can get it in there. And then we just don't get quite as much heat. But one other thing I wanted to bring up today, I got thinking that right now would be about the time I would start getting my materials ready, my setup ready, my marketing stuff, my order sheets and things for a little side hustle we tried to do every year. And we were really, really successful with it. It's something that we had to do anyway for us. And we just figured out how to do it extra and how to get rid of everything. So just wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning. And you are going to want to think about this, because the time is now. Even down here in Texas, the time is almost here. And what I'm talking about is seed starts. Starting your seeds for your garden. I know most people down here are thinking that it needs to be around Valentine's Day, I think, is kind of the seed starting time down here in Texas. So then it kind of permeates up through the different zones, through the different growing zones, when you're supposed to start them. It depends on your microclimates and if you have indoors or outdoors or whatever you're growing. So your results may vary, but one thing is true. When you start the seeds, they get bigger. They don't take up very much room. And how many seeds do you really need for your garden? I mean, you might have a huge, huge market garden. We did it sometimes. And we used to, Robin says St. Patrick's is about the time there. Okay. St. Patrick's, that's in March. St. Patrick's Day is in March, right? Sure. Yeah, that's right. March 17th. Clark says he doesn't have to start until the near the end of March. I was figuring you started your seeds in May up there in Saskatchewan. But anyway, you got lots of time to play on this, Clark. You should knock this one out of the park. But what we would do when we would start seeds for ourselves, we always started tons of extra. You don't know all of them are going to germinate. You don't know if they're all going to survive. You don't know when you transplant them, what's going to hang out. So we used to start tons and tons of seeds. And one day I sat there and looked at it and I said, well, why would I not just sell these? If I did really good, if I wanted 20 plants and I ended up with 50 seeds I started and 45 germinated and I got all these healthy plants, why wouldn't I just sell them? Why wouldn't I sell them? And if I'm going to do it and I'm going to do the work, why wouldn't I just start like double or maybe even triple if I have the space and the lights? Clark says they planted mid-May in the soil. Yeah, our last average frost date where we were in Minnesota was May 20th. Yeah, I said last frost date was May 20th. First frost date was September 20th. Yeah, we got like 90 days. It was stupid. But anyway, seed starting and how we went about this is, Corey and I really liked like our niche that we were trying to get into were the kind of, specialty heirloom tomatoes, weird breeds, different peppers, different bell peppers, different hot peppers, things like that. Things you didn't see in the store. We weren't growing jalapeno. I mean, we did grow some jalapenos. We weren't growing jalapenos and sweet pepper or just red, yellow, green peppers and, you know, that kind of stuff. Beef eaters or beef steak tomatoes or whatever. Beef eaters. Isn't that gin? Oops. We weren't growing pine trees. But anyway, we would go through the seed catalogs and find the cool stuff that we wanted to grow for us and also things that would be an easy draw come time to sell the fruits, to sell the vegetables, to go, hey, I have these chocolate tomatoes. I have these chocolate peppers. I have these weird sweet bell pepper, banana pepper cross things that I found. So that was our MO. Well, one thing that you can do, you can market that plant, especially when it's tiny and little. And you can be like, I have starter chocolate tomato plants. I have starter orange bell pepper, zebra peppers, or whatever. Whatever the draws were, the names. And then I would just list them out on a spreadsheet. I would do pre-orders. That made it really easy, depending on my space, what I had available. If I had enough pre-orders, I didn't have to worry about it. Just had to worry about hey, and it looks like I'm back. But that's kind of how where I started was selling that overflow in our buffer. Like I wanted 10 plants. I started 30 seeds just to make sure I had enough germination. I raised them. I went to put them in the ground and I had 19. That's what survived. I only needed 10 plants. I might put 12 in the ground just for losses of plants as they're growing. But then I still had extra to sell. So then I started pre-selling. So now the pre-sales plus what I needed are sold and accounted for. And I still started extra because I needed to make sure I had the minimum amount. And then I sold what I had at that point. So you have a short window to sell the little bit of extra. But once you start doing the pre-orders, once you start taking flyers to work, take them to places that are local that are going to be easy to deliver to, or people even better are going to come and pick them up from you because transporting starter plants is a pain in the ass, just to let you know, especially when they get tall and too big. But start putting flyers out, maybe a bunch of them so people can take them with them. Put them at the feed store, put them at the gas station at the end of the road, put them at the grocery store, on the community bulletin board, in the post office, on the community bulletin board. Anywhere you can, start throwing these flyers up and throw them up and keep them up there. Put a deadline to be back a couple weeks before you need to start your seeds. Then find out when your planting dates are. Count back. Give yourself a little buffer week either way, because people next door. Yeah, we didn't have next door where we were. We didn't have enough next doors. We didn't have enough people next door to have next door where we were. So that didn't work. But yeah, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, any place. Just get the word out that you're selling plants. Pre-orders are where it's at for sure. But have a pickup window, have a delivery window, have a payment time. That's all stuff you got to figure out for yourself. But then count it all up, start those seeds, and do your thing. Do your thing you're going to do anyway, and make some money off it. You probably pay for all your seeds. You probably pay for all your lights in that first year, and then just keep rolling. Keep getting bigger. Your people are going to want you to start their plants for them every year. If you start decent plants and you sell decent plants and they get decent fruit, I mean, you can't guarantee how they raise the plants you give them, what they do with them after you hand them off. But if you give them a quality, strong starter plant, you tell them, you give them some instructions, they're going to come back. They're going to be happy. Yeah, Clark, the tech gremlins are here today. It is this super thick thunderstorm rolling over us for the last hour or so. I was actually contemplating delaying the start of the show, and then it came back, so we just went with it. So I'm going to end up clipping off the front of this now that I'm starting to clip a little bit more on the audio side as I pull out the perfect cup. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But seed starting, think about it. I think even if in the most southern parts of the United States, you still would have time to spin this up. You might not have a lot of time to get pre-orders in, but you could start them and sell them as they're growing. Oh, let's see. Josh says, there's also plant sales here every spring and fall by local botanical clubs and the extensions, and it's easy to get a weekend spot at a farmer's market, and people always sell out of plants. Yeah. The farmer's markets where we were didn't start. Most of them didn't start until after plants were in the ground. I guess starter tomatoes would be right around. So our last frost date was the 20th of May, and we usually started, farmer's markets usually kicked off Memorial Day weekend. So yeah, timing really wasn't there. But other places for sure when they're going on, getting in front of people. Josh says, if you need an affordable setup, let me know. I'll send you an Amazon link. Are you scamming? Are you, you're affiliate whoring in my chat, in a live chat? Wow. We're going to go back to, if everyone spoke their mind, would this be a better place? Maybe if Josh wasn't speaking his mind in my chat for affordable seed starting setups on his affiliate accounts. No, if you need an affordable setup, I don't really know what's going on right now in the whole Amazon seed starting. We were big. We started a lot. I didn't do a small setup. I used garage shelving from Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's, that type of thing. And it was in our living room with the Barena lights. And then that all got transformed into a hydroponic setup and all sorts of fun stuff. Josh doesn't hate money. He just says down there he doesn't hate money. So that's good. So anyway, think about your seed starting. Think about if you can get those rolling and make a little extra money. At least pay. Calculate out and see if you can pay for your seeds. Seeds are expensive, but they're super cheap for what you get and what you can turn them into. It's just like growing money. It's just like growing money. But anyway, guys, we're going to wrap up here. I got to do a little extra editing this morning. I got a bunch of stuff to do today. So question of the day. I led off with it and we'll pull it out, but I'm going to throw it over in the Telegram group at t.me/lotschat. That is, if everyone spoke their mind, would this world be a better place? Head on over to the Telegram chat and answer that question. If you didn't catch the earlier episode or the earlier segment, that will get pulled out and uploaded separately. Tonight, I have another interview, Thursday night pre-recorded premiere. It is TK Rizeu Mara, and we talk about slow living, minimalism. He is an extreme minimalist. I know I touched a chord in the chat when I talked about TK and the fact that he's striving to be an extreme minimalist and get down to 100 items in his life. 100 items in his life. Yeah, that's what he's going to own. An adult person. 100 items. So check it out. Check it out tonight. I'm hoping to be hanging out in the chat. Hoping the weather holds out and I can be there and hang out with you guys and interact. Otherwise, just catch it. Catch the replay. I do have the new links for the new streams that I'm putting out, the interview only stream and then the Perfect Cup stream. I do have those links and I will start putting them in the show notes for a while. They aren't in there today, but you can find them in the Telegram group or on all our socials. Yeah. Other than that, guys, be sure to check out the perfectcup.shop. I'm working on that. I'll be working on it more today. See what we got up there. One last comment. Josh says, what I sold the first year and saved not buying start paid for my starting setup the first year. Yep, that's what I've kind of noticed. It's like a no-brainer, and everybody wants to buy them. So just heads up, guys. Get out there, hustle, 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 and make that money. I'm going to wrap it up here, and as always, you can find me at thelotsproject.com on Twitch, Telegram, YouTube, Odyssey, Rumble, Gab, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Fountain.fm, and all the other podcast 2.0 value-for-value exchange podcast players. It's Thursday. One more sleep. It's Friday Eve, and tomorrow will be Friday and heading into the weekend. Hopefully the rain stops today and the sun will come out tomorrow. It's been a great day, guys, and hope you have a good one, and we'll catch up with you on Friday. I can feel the sun.